You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back for a very special conversation with Kim Holmes, a longtime fellow and vice president of the Heritage Foundation, an assistant secretary of state for international organization affairs under George W. Bush, and the author of several books, including most recently The Closing of the Liberal Mind, which is our topic today. Kim, we're defining terms. There's another one that I wanted to make sure we nailed down. Radical multiculturalism. Give us a flavor of what that is and how it manifests itself in what you've described as sort of the illiberalism of contemporary liberalism.
Yeah, it has two elements. The ideological root is the same, but the two elements, one is legal and one is cultural. It goes by the common everyday term of diversity, a cultural diversity. But if you go back and look at the history of the idea and the academic world and the like, the legal side of it was starting off with, actually a long time ago, back in the 1920s, but in the 60s and it accelerated, wherein law schools, so-called realists, were rejecting the idea that there was a universal point of justice in law that derived from natural law or religion, however, whatever the source may be. And sort of a pragmatic, kind of realistic view is what they called it. And so therefore, law and the ethics of law were situational. And so there was no one point. So it was a kind of a radical relativistic view that entered into the bloodstream of our law schools. And this actually happened before the 60s. Then you add into that from the 1960s and the 70s, the cultural, multicultural movement, what we call diversity, and its spin-off, identity politics, where racial and gender and sexual preference groups started insisting on specific rights based upon their identity in a group, and then creating workplace regulations and expectations for quotas and the like.
Our guest is Dr. Kim Holmes of the Heritage Foundation. And we're discussing his extraordinarily important new book, The Closing of the Liberal Mind, How Groupthink and Intolerance Define the Left. And Kim, you were describing this radical multiculturalism and identity politics, again, as a kind of battering ram, I'd say, against the culture and illiberal in the extreme. When you look at this, it seems as though there's sort of a case study playing out at the moment in the repudiation, really, of Bill Clinton as a sort of archetypal, at least latter-day liberal, by, among others, his wife. Talk a bit about that, if you would.
Yeah, this is actually a very significant development. It's probably no secret to most Americans who follow politics that progressive liberalism today, a Democratic Party, is more radical than it was 20 years ago. But here's the significant thing to realize is that it is indeed a direct repudiation of the so-called New Democrat Third Way approach to politics that President Bill Clinton back in the 1990s pursued. You'll recall that at one time Bill Clinton had his so-called Sister Soldier movement where he repudiated the black militant movement at that time. And just a couple of weeks ago, he was faced with some activists from the Black Lives Matter movement, and he showed his old self by saying, wait a minute, I care about black people too. I mean, after all, look at all I did. And then 2 days later, he was forced to apologize for that. And if you look at his wife, Hillary Clinton, is actually far more of a 1960s new left cultural warrior than Bill Clinton himself was. And so it's more natural for her, given her interest in radical feminism back when she was doing some research back in the 60s and the 70s and when she was in law school, for her to kind of return to the radical roots of that decade.
Yeah, and to say nothing of her study of Alinsky and his techniques.
Yeah. And then you have Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders was the typical hippie socialist from the 1960s, going to communes, visiting the Soviet Union and the like.
Cuba.
Back in those years, it was nothing unusual. And now here he is getting 45% of the Democratic Party vote. It's just quite amazing. It shows you how much has changed.
It does. And I guess what I want to sort of explore further with you is one of the ways in which this has clearly been incubated, and you've touched on this several times, but just to drive the point home, is in academia and the revolution, cultural revolution, if you will, of the 1960s, and the establishment, as you say, of an orthodoxy, a groupthink, an absolutely illiberal, radical multiculturalism on campuses is evident in a lot of ways. You've talked about some of them, notably in this idea that students are now entitled to safe spaces, you know, where they will be free throughout their career in the university from microaggression, and they'll get trigger warnings if somebody's going to upset them. This would seem to be the absolute antithesis of the kind of classic liberalism that you've talked about. And give us a sense, Kim Holmes, of the implications of inculcating these attitudes in generation upon generation of young Americans.
Well, you're absolutely right. It is, if you go back to the 1960s, 1964, when the and back then, it's the so-called free speech movement. So at that time, everybody on the left loved dissent because they thought they were a minority. Well, now that many of them are in charge, or their allies are in charge, then now the conservatives are the one in dissent, and they want no part of it. And so it's like the old story, once you get in power, you close the door behind you. But the implication is devastating, because the university and the colleges and our education system is the place where all of our values and expectations are inculcated and taught to our young people. And if you just casually watch some of these videos where some of these students at our best universities, at Harvard and Yale, are not only asked questions about American history, they have no clue, but are asked very simple questions about what identity politics actually means, it's frightening, some of the things they're saying. And the thing we got to realize is that these students, these young people, didn't invent these ideas themselves. They were taught it in school. And they were taught it in an environment where there was no disagreement allowed. No critical questions could be raised, because if you raise a critical question, you could get kicked out of the classroom. This is an extremely authoritarian mindset. I would say, even in the extreme, even totalitarian, that you find in regimes around the world that try to control not only what people say, but what they think. And for it to be happening in our universities is extremely dangerous to not only our democracy, but to our liberties.
Yeah. You describe it as a zero-tolerance culture in your new book, The Closing of the Liberal Mind. And that really, you know, it may sound like it's hyperbole, but what one discovers in even the sort of passing acquaintance with what's going on in academia these days, Kim, to be, if anything, an understatement. There really is no room now for, well, Western civilization, for crying out loud. You know, Stanford University had a full-scale vote on the question of whether Western civilization should even be taught on campus any longer. And it went down to a crushing defeat. It does seem as though what we're setting up here is the environment in which essentially an authoritarianism politically is inevitable. It's not just it's not just in the minds. It's not just in the academic institutions. We're going to pause for a moment, and when we come back, we're going to talk more about the war on dissent and how that's translating into, well, a kind of authoritarianism for sure, with Kim Holmes, the author most recently of The Closing of the Liberal Mind, How Groupthink and Intolerance Define the Left. That and more right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.